what you can say about the situation of refugees in Tunisia. I mean, who escapes to Tunisia, and do those people want to stay there?
There are some migrants and refugees in Tunisia. It's more of the mandate of IOM Tunis. But yes, most of them actually, they escape for either political reasons, because there is prosecution, civil wars, human rights violations in their countries, or those for the refugees, for the and for the migrants as well. There are also the economic reasons. Those persons who flee their countries, they just aspire at improving their economic conditions, because simply back at their home there is no investment, no development, there are no opportunities. They would like to help their families, so they think that if they can cross Europe and come to Europe, they will find opportunities and they will be able to help their families in need. So you have the political reasons and the economic factors, which are the main factors actually of migration and refugees. Though maybe refugees, we think more that they fled their countries because of wars and persecution. Yes, in Tunis they are put also in like transit centers run by the Tunisian government. Those persons, most of them, they don't have any documents, neither identity cards or travel documents. So, yes, the Tunisian government, with the help of IOM Tunis, they try to reach out to their consulates and embassies and bring them back home, because those for the migrants, for the refugees whom their demands for resettlement were accepted, they stay there in transit and this reception centers until they are able to move to the resettlement countries. And this usually is done with the help of the UNHCR, which is its mandate is helping the refugees and finding resettlement for them in other countries in Europe or in the United States or Canada or anywhere where there is this possibility.
How does the Tunisian government react to the refugees? How big is the support from the state?
Actually, the Tunisian government saw a flow, like a big influx of the refugees in 2011 when the Libya crisis erupted. And the Tunisian government was back at that time also a fragile country, just going through a revolution itself and a new transitional government. So it had to deal with this big number of refugees coming from Libya, who fled Libya when the situation was very, very unstable. So they were placed actually in camps, the borders between Tunisia and Libya, until with the help of the UN agencies, of the governments of the countries of origin of these migrants and refugees, they tried to deal with the situation. It did not had the help of Europe back at that time. Tunisia is a small country and had to deal with a big crisis of more than 1 million refugees from Libya who came to its borders. And Tunisia did not close its borders with Libya. So the borders were open to receive these refugees and migrants because it was a humanitarian crisis. Then, as I told you, the process goes through the administrative procedures of treating the resettlement demands, placing the migrants in some reception, the transit countries until they go back to their countries. So with the help of non-profit organizations who work with migrants, with the help of the UN agencies, with the help of the Tunisian government and other countries, Tunisia was able to manage this situation. This is for the big crisis that Tunisia witnessed years ago. Now, there is this debate about the refugees, because Tunisia is a bordering country of Libya, and so there was this talks about trying to place the migrants and refugees in Tunisia, in Tunisian reception centers or transit centers or reception centers. I don't know what is the right nomination. It's still debatable. But so far, the Tunisian government did not fully or did not approve this. So this is something that Europe wants, actually. to have these migrants and refugees in Tunisia before having them in Europe, or before gradually deciding who can come to Europe or who cannot. This will be surely will represent a burden for the Tunisian government. And so far, this debate is still going on. What are the stakes of this? What are the negotiations? What will it take to, if we Tunisia accepts this deal, what will happen? What are the maybe the benefits that Europe can give to Tunisia with this regard? Also, there's the human rights organization that, yes, they have also their say in this, because at the end of the day, those refugees, they don't want to stay in Tunisia for long. Their aim is to improve their situation, and they will not be integrated in Tunisia because they will be stay in this reception transit center, but for how long we still don't know. Their main objective is to find better opportunities in Europe, not in any other country. For them, Libya is a transit country. Tunisia is a transit. It's not a destination. The final destination will always remain Europe for them. As long as there are no economic opportunities for them in their countries, they will continue to take the boats and to dream about going to Europe to improve their conditions.
Hmm. Besides of refugees from other countries who try to escape to Europe through Tunisia, there are also some Tunisian people who try to escape from the country because of some reasons. I've read that 4% of all the refugees from Northern Africa are coming from Tunisia. I don't know, is it right?
Honestly, I cannot confirm the veracity of this number, but yes, I can tell you that there are many persons from Tunisia who flee the country. We don't talk much about them, but they represent a portion of these refugees. The gay community in Tunisia are not given their full rights, though they cannot live in Tunisia. Though they decide to leave the country, and they can apply for the status of refugee in other countries. There are Tunisians who still think that Europe is the dream land where they can fulfill everything they have dreamed of, so they continue to take the boats. Those are migrants who cross illegally the territorial waters to try to come to Europe, mainly through Italy. Once they reach Italy, then some stay, others go to other European countries. But of course, they are still illegal migrants, according to the international law. So yes, the migration has always been an issue in Tunisia, because before people fled because of the... There are some refugees who fled the country because of the political situation that was in Tunisia, because of the dictatorship and the lack of human rights, political rights. So those people, most of them were from the opposition movement, so they could have the status of refugees, because if they stay in Tunis, their lives was threatened. Those are a category. Now, this category of people who flee the country because of political factors is getting much lower, because the situation is, politically speaking, is more or less stable. People are given certain rights, so those kind of refugees is much more less now. But the people who flee, but the migrants who flee to, who come from poor backgrounds and social, not having very, very good conditions, socially speaking, they come either from poor neighborhoods where they did not have access to education and they could not find opportunities to work. They collect the money and they pay the smugglers and they take the boats and go to Europe. So this and with this percentage of Tunisians who are all still taking the boats, it is added the people coming from Libya, people coming from Syria, who take the boats also from Tunis or from Libya. So this percentage might be higher, yeah.
Yeah, you talk about gay people. For example, I read about two young guys. They were arrested for 8 months because of the suspicion of homosexuality. How is the situation for LGBT in Tunisia?
The LGBT community is in Tunisia is Yes, they are struggling. Yes, they are not given their full rights. They have to hide. They cannot like show up like this publicly, otherwise they are discriminated against. Unfortunately, even the law stipulates this. They can pursue the, in courts if they, it's confirmed that they are gays or lesbians, or they are part of the LGBT community. So this is very harsh for them. That's why living in Tunisia for a member of the LGBT community is not something easy. But that's why many seek refuge in Europe, so that they can live freely. They are not discriminated. They are not threatened, because there are even death threats for this community. They are being bullied in the social networks by people from different backgrounds. So the constitution gives them the right. There is an article in the Tunisian constitution that says people have the a freedom of consciousness. So basically, you are free to be whatever you wanna be in your in your life and in Tunisia as a country. But still, this article is not protecting them enough. They are really going through many hardships. But there are also a few who decided to stay in the country and to advocate for their rights. 2 years ago or 3 years, I think, there was an association to advocate for their rights, and last year they could for the first time have a march in the main avenue of Tunis to call for their rights. So yes, it will take time, but for the moment being, yes, they are not given their equal rights, and it's very difficult for them, but they are still resisting. And there are NGOs and civil society organizations who are supporting them. And yes, there are lawyers and activists who are calling to review these laws that persecute the LGBT community in Tunis.
Hmm. The German government tried to declare Tunisia and the other Maghreb states, as Morocco and Algeria, as safe states. That means that those states are safe to live in, so the German government can deport those peoples very easily. This was failed, but the Home Secretary of Germany, de Maizière, I don't know if you know him, Thomas de Maizière, said that applications for asylum from the Maghreb states are not reasonable. What do you think about this statement?
Yes, I think it was rejected, this declaration to have the Maghreb country as safe states. Yes, of course, as a national from Tunisia, I would have loved to admit with assurance that yes, Tunisia and many Maghreb countries are safe, but no, it's not the case for like for the LGBT community. This are the, for example, we were talking about them. It's not always safe for them to stay there. They have the right to protect themselves, to live in a safe country. If they are not giving this, if they cannot enjoy their full rights in their countries of origin, they have the right, and even the international community recognizes this. Even the Geneva Convention recognizes this. Many international humanitarian laws recognize that these people can apply for refuge if they are not if they do feel persecuted in their countries. Same for other countries of the Maghreb, where there is still this political oppression, and where people who belong to the opposition have their lives threatened. It's not safe for them to stay there. Maybe they can continue to advocate for more rights and democracy from other countries, which can grant them safe asylum. So yes, I think that so far it's not that, for some categories, it's not that safe for them to stay in countries. In their countries, they have the right to apply for refuge. So, and if they fulfill all the rights and all the standards, why preventing them from this right if they will help them improve their situation and have a safe life?
Besides of your work in Tunisia and the situation there, your organization is also working for Libya. This is another country we have not much information about the situation of refugees. How bad is the situation for people in Libya right now?
The situation in Libya is very bad. You know what is the word that you hear the most when you do the interviews with the migrants in the detention centers? It's hell. This word comes always, hell. The situation for them is not stable. It's not stable for the Libyans themselves. The Libyan citizens are struggling every day. Lack of infrastructure, lack of health facilities, continuous clashes every day between different militia. Libya has so far 3 governments. None of them is able to sit on the same table and to reach common agreements. The migrants and refugees, most of them, they are placed in detention centers with horrible conditions. They are seeing atrocities there. They only want to get out, either to go back to their countries or take the boat again and flee to Europe. The situation in Libya is very dangerous. For Libyans, for migrants, for refugees. Unfortunately, it's not going any better. It still needs time to stabilize. So it's very risky and very dangerous for migrants and refugees to stay there because of it's a lawless state. There is no application of the law there. You cannot have protection. You cannot enjoy rights. You cannot say this. The law will protect me, or the international law will protect me, because Libya, unfortunately, is a failed state. It's lawless. So yes, it's very risky, and there are many militias, and there are many networks of human trafficking and smugglers, who unfortunately profit from this situation to make money out of the migrants and the refugees. So it's a vicious circle.
You're sitting in Tunis, but your organization is named IOM Libya. How difficult is it to help refugees in Libya when you're not there?
Yes, actually we have been in Libya since 2006. IOM had already offices in Libya, and we have been working there, but because of the evacuation in 2014, all the UN agencies and many embassies left Libya and were relocated in Tunis. We still have colleagues and teams in Tripoli, in Sabha, in some parts of the east. So we are there. So we have an office who is also operational in Tripoli, the capital of Libya. We try to extend our assistance as much as possible. We rely on our colleagues on the ground, on the help of many NGOs, Libyan NGOs who are there, who help us in our activities in Libya. And we try to manage the operations from Libya and Tunis. It's not easy to manage remotely the activities with an especially when you deal with emergencies. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's emergency situation. So you have to deal with many unexpected things and incidents happening almost on a daily basis. But so far we are doing well, because we have solid teams on the ground. We have solid support from partners and the non-profit organizations, so we are able to continue our activities on the ground. So whenever there is rescue operations, we are always there. We extend our help to the migrants. We have also good relations with some governmental organizations, governmental entities and authorities in Libya. So we can go to the detention centers to visit the migrants and to do the interviews with them, to assess them. We can send our protection teams for the vulnerability assessments. And we have good relations with the embassies and consulates, so we can help the migrants return back home. So yes, we can, of course, do much more better if we were also in Tripoli. But compared to the situation and the means we have, we are doing our best.
Europe wants to keep refugees out of the EU. Therefore, ministers of different countries of the EU made a deal with North African states. For example, Europe wants to have more coast guards and border police in Libya. What do you think about this kind of deals?
Well, the deals is because of the big numbers of migrants reaching the European shores. So, for example, so since 2007, only 2007, there were 14,000. There were already 13,446 arrivals to Italy, and 2,535 rescued from the sea. So we are still in March 2007, and we have this the big number of 13,000 who arrived to Italy. So of course Europe is having migration crisis, and it tries to manage it. So the deal was to train the Libyan Coast Guard and provide it with the necessary means, equipment, capacity building, to intercept the migrants' boats and take the migrants back to Libya. So likewise, migrants will be prevented from reaching Europe. I personally think, this is my personal view, and I'm not talking about my organization stance, that this will not solve the problem. Because migrants and refugees at the end of the day will take again the boats, their families will send them again the money to pay the smugglers, and they will try by any means to reach Europe. Because as I told you, Libya is just a transit country. So I think there must be other solutions. I think Europe must think about trying already to disrupt the business model of the smugglers, because Europe knows how the smugglers work in the sub-Saharan countries. Try to create economic opportunities, investment in those sub-Saharan countries, so that the smugglers will not think about only benefiting from the migration to make the money. They will find opportunities to work and reinforce and help the African countries to reinforce the laws in a fair way, and in a way that respects the rights of these people. But just trying to impede or prevent the migrants and refugees from and keeping them for a long detention period in Libya, this will not work, because Europe knows that those migrants and refugees are being kept in detention centers in Libya with an undetermined period. And this is against the human rights. So I think Europe needs to balance this and to put the human rights component at the core of its management or the policy migration of Europe.
Which interest have the Maghreb states like Tunisia to make this kind of deals with the EU?
It's economic advantages if Tunisia can have, for example, promises of investment and economic development in the interior regions of Tunisia, where there is no economic development and no economic opportunities, where these regions are still marginalized. If Europe can promise, yes, we will create job opportunities for the young people living there, or for the young people who graduated and still did not find any job, in return, Tunis has to maintain a strict border policy and to detain or receive these migrants in those transit centers so that they do not reach Europe. But in return, Europe has to make these investments. So this situation might be a win-win, for example, for Tunisia. Okay, I will keep the migrants here. And in return, yes, Europe will invest in my country, will help me create job opportunities, so people, Tunisians, will not migrate and will stay there, and I will deal with the unemployment problem. But those deals, they do not put the migrant or the refugees at the center or at the core. They are just there as in the negotiations, but those people, what do they want? If they want to stay here, if Tunisia is even able to receive big numbers of these refugees, the Tunisian government able to have the means, have the infrastructure, have like psychosocial teams, the expertise required to deal with this big number of people who will be retained or detained in its country. So this is a question mark. Yes, it's a big big debate actually, but still it's more about economic opportunities and investments and yes, and keeping the migrants and refugees stranded, not reaching Europe, not invading Europe.
It's my last question and a very big question. What do you think it's really needed to help refugees in Tunisia and Libya? What's your demands?
I can think of stopping the wars in these countries if that was possible. The refugees, Syrians, for example, they have never won. I know many Syrians. They did not want to leave their countries if it was not because it's no longer possible for them to live there. Trying to reach peace and solving the political disagreements in this country, having a cohesive and harmonized and human rights-based migration policy, that would help refugees and migrants. And yes, I am still convinced that if there were economic opportunities and possibilities for the migrants to stay in their countries, they would not have left. Because in the interviews that we do with the migrants stranded, for instance, in Libya, most of them, they flee because of the economic conditions, because they would like to improve their lives. If investment was there, if Europe thought of investing in education, in small startups, in vocational, even vocational trainings for these populations, in infrastructure, in sharing of expertise, in capacity building, they would have stayed if they had the opportunity. They would not have left their countries. There are many ways, but I think Europe should have a common response for the crisis of refugees. For instance, after the Vietnam War, the West eventually it welcomed 1.3 million refugees from Indochina. So it was a large-scale resettlement, and it has succeeded once without collapsing the social order of Europe. I think it can be achieved again. Of course, there are worries about refugees posing a threat to European citizens, but this is a humanitarian crisis, and it is a big shame that if we cannot deal with this crisis, we cannot help those people in need. So I think trying to reach peace, trying to end wars in these countries, trying to provide economic alternatives in the smuggling communities in Africa, mainly in sub-Saharan Africa like Niger, where those smugglers are thriving, are making money and good business out of the migrants. If we try to have alternatives in the smuggling communities, the migrants will not find the smugglers who will help them go to Libya. So this already will be a good step.